Hey everybody, welcome to the Branch 458 podcast. I am Casey Ritchie. I am your financial secretary for Branch 458. We're going to be going over the May newsletter in this episode, and then afterwards we're going to be talking about a few more items. So stick around to the very end, listen to all that stuff. So just jumping right in, on the front cover you'll see that poster we see around this time of year every year. It's the letter carrier food drive. It is on May 11th this year. Every year, it's the second Saturday in May. So we look forward to that. And hopefully we're as successful or even more successful this year than we were in past years. So jumping right in, on page two, inside the front cover, we have Ken Mayfield, our branch president.
President's Report. I hope everyone is doing well this month. I have a few updates for everyone this month. First, Postal Service Health Benefits Program, also known as PSHBP. The Postal Service has released five videos concerning the PSHBP. Active members can access these videos and additional information about the PSHBP by logging into their LightBlue at myhr.usps.gov. Retired members can access these videos and additional information about PSHBP at www.keepingposted.org. For those retired members who did not enroll in Medicare Part B when they were eligible, they can also learn more about the special enrollment period, which opened April 1st, 2024, and will remain open through September 30th, 2024. For those retired members who did not enroll in Medicare Part B when they became eligible, this is one more opportunity for you to stick it to the Postal Service, as the Postal Service will be responsible for paying your penalty if you enroll during the SEP. All members can also text PSHBP to 39369 to receive updates concerning PSHBP. Please also remember that all members will need to enroll in a PSHBP plan this open season, beginning November 11, 2024. If you need assistance enrolling, active or retired, please contact us at the office sooner rather than later. Second, I've had several members call asking about using their personal rewards, such as kickback points at OnQ, when using the Postal Service's Voyager card to fuel their postal vehicle. The short answer is, do not use your personal rewards accounts when using postal property. Page 16 of the Winter 2024 Area and Regional Update, Southern Eastern Edition, which every active member should have received in the mail, had an article concerning this topic. This article can be found by logging into your LightBlue at lightblue.usps.gov. Third, there are currently 311 co-sponsors on H.R. 82, Social Security Fairness Act, three of which are from Oklahoma. Thank you to Representatives Lucas, Cole, and Bice for co-sponsoring this bill. If you live in either Representative Hearns or Representative Burkeen's districts, please contact them and ask them to support this bill. There are currently 53 co-sponsors for S-597, Social Security Fairness Act. This is the Senate companion bill to H.R. 82. Thank you to Senator Mullen for co-sponsoring this bill. For the members who live in Oklahoma, please contact Senator Lankford and ask him to support this bill. There are currently 89 co-sponsors for H.R. 5995, Federal Retirement Fairness Act, and none from Oklahoma. Please contact your representative and ask them to co-sponsor this bill. There are currently 20 co-sponsors for H.R. 7629, Protect Our Letter Carriers Act, and none from Oklahoma. Please contact your representative and ask them to co-sponsor this bill. You can find more information about these bills at www.congress.gov. Lastly, we have published in this newsletter several times what to do if you suffer an on-the-job injury. We have even sent it out to each office to post on the NALC bulletin board. Recently, I had a member contact me because they had used all their leave due to an on-the-job injury that occurred late last year. This member is about to enter an LWOP status because they no longer have any leave. Ignoring the fact that this member should have contacted someone in the union for help with this issue 5 to 6 months ago and is no longer eligible for continuation of pay, also known as COP. This member is now struggling to remember what date the injury occurred and is having to rely on management to provide documentation of this. Does anyone believe that management will be in a rush to help this member in completing an injury claim? I also had a career member recently tell me that they had never enrolled in a Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, also known as FEHBP plan. This member has been a career employee for approximately 10 years. When I asked why they did not enroll in an FEHBP plan, they said that they had asked management several times to help them enroll, and they never would help the member enroll. Now that I have told them that I can help them enroll, remember this is approximately 10 years after becoming eligible to enroll, this member is going to have to wait until November to enroll, and it won't be effective until January 2025. Another potential issue with this scenario, an employee must be enrolled in an FEHBP and or PSHBP plan for at least 5 consecutive years before retiring to be eligible to continue coverage into retirement. Speaking of health plans, if you are a CCA and enrolled in the USPS Health Benefit Plan for CCAs, you will not be able to continue your enrollment in this plan when you convert to career status. You will be required to enroll in an FEHBP plan this year or a PSHBP plan beginning in 2025. My point to all of this is that members pay dues for more than just representation in the grievance process and contract negotiations. We help members file and assist with completing Office of Workers' Compensation Program, also known as OWCP, claims. Those of you who know David Miller, our previous branch president, this is what he now does full-time for the NALC. We also help members with their OWCP claims here at the office. We help members enroll in benefits, including the best FEHBP and will be the best PSHBP plan, the NALC Health Benefit Plan. How many of you know that the NALC offers a life insurance program for their members? The NALC Mutual Benefit Association, also known as MBA, offers many types of life insurance, term as well as whole life plans, as well as short-term disability, hospital plus, and a CCA retirement plan where CCAs can begin contributing to this plan as a CCA and then roll it over into their TSP upon conversion to career status. We help members complete their retirement applications. If you are not sure about something, please ask. We do have some good management, but if you are not getting an answer or help from your management, what does it hurt to call your union before it is too late? Stay healthy and safe until next time, Kent.
On page 4 of the newsletter, we have Union Night at the Ballpark. The annual Union Night at Bricktown Ballpark is Friday, June 21st, 2024. Tickets are $26 each, which include home plate section seating, free limited Dodgers ball cap, and $6 in Dodger dollars to be used in any concession stand. For those interested, please have cash or check payable to NALC Branch 458 or Cash App to $NALC458. Be sure to notate it for baseball tickets. No later than close of business Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. So everyone that enjoys going to see those Dodgers at the Bricktown Ballpark, that is a very fun night. It's $26 each. Just let us know by May 29th. Also on that page, Branch 458 bowling team at Clue Tournament. Team name, The Mailman Strikes Again. From left to right in that photo, you got Steve Riggs, Ken Mayfield, Bob Bearden, and Chris Prieto. On page 5 of the newsletter, we have an article by Bob Bearden, Postal Service Health Benefits, April 11th, 2024. Postal Service Health Benefits, PSHB Program Fact Sheets. PSHB is a separate program within the Federal Employees Health Benefits, or FEHB, program and will be administered by OPM. The PSHB program's coverage of postal employees and annuitants, as well as covered family members and survivors, will be effective January 1st of 2025. The Postal Service released these fact sheets for the employees and annuitants with more information on the PSHB program There's PSHB for USPS employees and PSHB for USPS annuitants. The NLC health plan will be a part of the Postal Service health benefits plan. Again, that's Bob Bearden, Branch 458, our health benefits director. Page 6, we have the scholarship news. Thanks to the following Branch 458 members who donated to the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship Fund: Steve Riggs, Eric Bew, Bob Bearden, Bill Miller, and Danny Gonzalez. 100% of all donations to the scholarship fund are used for the cost of scholarships for winners chosen annually by the Branch 458 Memorial Scholarship Committee. Applications are available for graduating seniors, children, and grandchildren of members towards the end of the calendar year and are generally due by March 31st of each year. To date, Branch 458 has provided scholarships to more than 25 students that are children of our members. And towards the bottom left-hand corner of page 6, there's a donation slip there if you do choose to donate to the scholarship fund. That is not necessary to have that slip. Just some members include that in their envelope whenever they mail in checks for the scholarship. Again, thank you to everybody that donates to that. It's for a great cause. Membership report. Branch 458 welcomes the following new members of the NALC. There are 7 names listed there, and I don't want to list them here. I don't want to mispronounce anyone's name, so they are available on page 6. Branch 458 was recently made aware of the following members' conversion to career status. So congratulations to all those people there on page 6. There are several names listed there, so please read those names and congratulate them if you see them. Page 7 of the newsletter is our May birthdays. So happy birthday, everyone that has a birthday in May. And on the back cover of the newsletter, you'll see all the officers that were present at our last branch meeting. All officers were present with the exception of the mutual benefits director. There's some information there. If you want to submit an article for the newsletter, you will submit it to editor@nalcbranch458.com. And then there's information on the right side. There's a table of contents and also some upcoming events. We always have our stewards training the first Thursday of every month, and it begins at 6:30. Our next training is on May 2nd. The following one is on June 6th. And then our branch meetings are always the second Thursday of every month. Our next one is at 7:30 on May 9th. And then the following one is June 13th. So please try to make those meetings. If you're not able to, there's a Zoom invite link on there. You can also find that Zoom link on our website. It's nalcbranch458.com. You can also see it on our Facebook page. And then something else we need to get added on here, editor, is our 458podcast@gmail.com is the email address for this podcast. If you have any suggestions, any comments, anything you just want to send to this podcast for the podcast, just send it to that email address. And that's our newsletter. Of course, I'm giving our editor a little bit of a hard time. We made that email address for this podcast shortly after it was printed, so there's no way he could have got it in this edition, so we'll give him a little bit of a break there. So hopefully it's on the next one. A few more things that I wanted to discuss are some tips for the food drive for carriers that maybe this is your first time doing a food drive. It is going to be a very hectic day. Listen to the senior carriers in your office. They might have some tricks for you to make the day go a little bit easier. Of course, management is not going to care that you're picking up thousands of pounds of food for the community. They're still going to want you to carry your route and probably some overtime on that day if you're a new carrier, if you're a CCA especially. So just come into work, stay hydrated that day because usually it's pretty hot in May. I remember the first year I did it, we had the white t-shirts and just not thinking about it. I didn't put on extra sunscreen that day. I got sunburnt because of the sun just glaring off that white t-shirt. This year our shirts are blue, so that may not be an issue. But just remember those small things. Stay hydrated. It's going to be hotter. You're wearing a cotton t-shirt if you're wearing those food drive shirts that day. We are allowed to wear those shirts. Usually they let us wear those all week long. But if you wear it that one day, just be mindful that it's a different material. It just acts different than our normal uniform. So keep that in mind. A few other things. Before that, we're delivering the bags to the mailboxes. So one thing I learned at Carrying Mail that helped me out a lot is I got one of those D-ring clips on walking routes. You can clip that on your satchel, on the front clasp where your strap attaches to the satchel, and then you can hang those bags off of that D-ring, by the center part of the bags where it usually hangs on like a those racks in like grocery stores and stuff. It's the same type of bag. So just clip those to that D-ring and you can peel one off at a time. If you use those thumb stalls, it makes it real easy because you can just run your thumb along the bag and it'll tear one off. So that's just a quick tip to help you with the bags. I know I told that to a lot of people whenever I was a mentor in my station and they really liked it. So try that out. If not, there might be some different ways to deliver those bags a little easier. They're not very neat, so be patient with it. If you like to be neat and put the mail in the mailboxes a certain way, so you're just going to be putting those bags in mailboxes, and it is not going to look pretty. But we're going to get it to the residents that way that they can fill it with food and we can pick it up. On May 11th, you're going to be picking up those bags. So on walking routes, especially, you don't want to just load up those bags walking down the street because you still got the whole street to deliver. So something that I did second, third year I was doing the food drive is you pick up as many bags as you can carry comfortably, and then put them in piles at the curb. So that way, whenever you're done with your walking split, you can come back to your truck and you can just drive down the street. And of course, you're gonna curb your tires and set your emergency brake. You always want to be safe, and then get out and you can pick up maybe three or four or five piles instead of picking it up at every single house. So you're gonna pick up those bags, carry as many as you can, and then put them at the curb in a pile. So they're not gonna be there for very long, and hopefully you don't have anyone come by and steal food because everybody knows what's going on that day. So those are just some tricks that I learned picking up the food on the food drive day. A few other ones, if you're on a mounted route, collect those tubs and trays starting probably now, maybe a few weeks before the food drive. And you're going to line the back of your truck with those. Of course, you got packages and mail back there, but working around it. So you're going to pick up that food at the mailbox, hopefully. And then you can just set it in the back inside those tubs that you already have laid out. So if you guys know of any more tips and tricks, help out the less senior guys at your station, the newer people. Help them out on that very busy day because, like I said, management doesn't care that you're out there working your tail off, picking up food, and then they still want you to be back in time, whatever their DOAS projections say, and they still want you to carry that auxiliary assistance, right? The next thing I wanted to talk about was a hearing that happened just recently in Washington, D.C. It was on April 17th. I'll maybe put a link to it in the description of this episode. That you can find. It was the Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, and they were asking questions from four people. One of them was Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, one of the Board of Governors, Roman Martinez the Fourth. There was the Chair of the Postal Regulatory Committee, Michael Kumbayana, and then there was an Inspector General from the OIG's office, Tammy Hull. So there's different senators on that committee, and they were asking questions of these four people. One of our senators from Oklahoma sits on that committee, Senator Lankford, and I've personally written him letters asking for his support for various reasons because he is on that committee. So he's got a little bit more pull I mean, of course, he's a senator. So if you have any concerns, any questions for him, you can reach out to him. You can write him a letter. You can call his office. But this particular hearing was interesting because it was about the implementation in Atlanta, Georgia, and Richmond, Vermont, of those SNDC sites. So those are those sorting and delivery centers where they're combining like 10 different stations into one. And a lot of these senators from around the nation had some concerns. And the reason I bring it up is because this is the reason that we need to donate to our letter carrier political fund. If you listen to that hearing, there's several senators in there that raise concerns, and the governor Martinez and even Postmaster DeJoy try to explain things to them about how the Postal Service is limited on what we can do on certain things because of legislation. So the Letter Carrier Political Fund is a fund that is separate from our union dues. It's actually illegal for the union to use our union dues for political purposes. So that's what this fund is for. It's something that you can set up pretty easily. You can call the hall, or we have two letter carrier liaisons that help with that. There's Eric Bue and then Megan Sperling. If you reach out to the hall and try to get in touch with them, they can definitely help you out signing up for the Letter Carrier Political Fund. And you can donate as little as a dollar or as much as you want to that fund. I know several times of the year they have gifts and stuff that they give out for people that do donate. But if you call the hall up here, it's 405-789-2220. Someone can help you out, sign up for that. And if you're interested in this at all, I'm not going to pretend like I know everything they were talking about in that hearing, because a lot of it went over my head. But the more and more I listen to this stuff, the more and more I learn. And there was several senators on there that were proposing things that would not benefit us at all. Several of them complimented the employees of the Postal Service for various reasons. There was one that complimented us, the Postal Service is what I mean by us, for finding and seeking out fentanyl in the mail. There's processing and sorting delivery centers that sniff out that stuff. We have machines in our plants that set that stuff aside. So I think he was from Kansas, if I'm not mistaken, and he commended the service on that. There were several of them that understood that letter carriers are the backbone of this company. And one of them even asked those four people, well, have you asked the people that are on the street, the professionals in these neighborhoods, what their opinion is? Maybe you should do that. So I had a little chuckle at that. But the one I wanted to point out was there was a senator that was advocating that our pension was failing, and it was a package that he couldn't understand why the service continues to hire people into that package. His proposal was to create a different pension program, a different pension package, and to hire people into that. And he brought up non-union labor employees, which we all know they can't do. It's against our contract. And if they wanted to do that, if they wanted to create a new pension, that's something that they would have to pass legislation on. So that's a huge reason why we need to donate to the Letter Carrier Political Fund, because that money is used. We have people that's their job, their sole job is to fight for us, for rights, for legislation, for letter carriers that will help us in the long run. So if you're not donating, if you want more information about that, again, reach out to Eric Bue or Megan Sperling. They can definitely help you out. You can call and talk to me about it, or you can call the hall. Last thing that I wanted to talk about was House Resolution 7629. Ken talked about it a little bit in his article of this month's newsletter, and I talked about it a little bit last month, but I wanted to tell you guys a little bit more about it. The title of this bill is Protect Our Letter Carriers Act. What it's going to do is provide funding for the Postal Service to upgrade our infrastructure. If you go on to NALC.org and you click on the front page, it says House Resolution 7629, and you can click on it and it gives you more information and you can read. It's not a ton of information, so it's easy to read. It just tells you about the bill, what it will support. So just briefly, it says since 2020, there have been more than 2,000 crimes committed against letter carriers on the job. Many of these attacks involve a gun or another weapon. Letter carrier robberies climbed 643 last year and increased nearly 30%, and a number of the robberies resulting in injuries doubled, according to the United States Postal Inspection Service. So this is very important. People are out there attacking letter carriers, attacking our brothers and sisters, and this bill will provide $7 billion in funding to the Postal Service to secure our infrastructure. So what that means is it's going to provide $1.4 billion annually for 5 years to update things like our aerolock keys, like those high security collection boxes, the blue boxes. If you haven't seen those high security ones, they are hefty. And w they talk about that in that hearing that I talked about just a minute ago. But this helps provide funding to purchase all those things. They're talking about the electronic aerolock key system that, of course, they still have to test and they still have to get approval for from our national on both sides, the union and management. But that's what this bill will help fund. Additionally, it will provide prosecutors in each one of the attorneys' districts across the U.S. so that these crimes can be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So if someone's going to attack a letter carrier, they're going to get prosecuted for it. You always hear, the more senior carriers talk about how, back in the day, they're walking down the street, and if someone even thought about attacking the letter carrier, the whole neighborhood would jump in and protect them. And it just doesn't happen anymore because these criminals aren't being prosecuted for their crimes. So this is a big bill. We need to support it. We need to get our Congress to support it. So reach out to your congressmen or women and ask for their support on this bill because it will help us drastically in the long run. But that's all we really had for this podcast. Again, if you have any suggestions or anything, 458podcast@gmail.com. So until next time, thanks.